You're listening to KVNF 90.9 Paonia, KVMT 89.1 Montrose. We're on the web at kvnf.org. Taking a little bit of a special early bringing it home today. We do want to let you know that support for KVNF comes from the winemakers of the West Elks AVA, announcing the 4th Annual West Elks Wine Trail, August 2nd through 5th. Featuring tours of wineries, vineyards, and orchards in the North Fork Valley area with local food and wine tastings, winemaker dinners, recipe cards, and more. Information at westelksava.com. Support for KVNF also comes from KOTO-FM, announcing the Ride Festival, August 25th and 26th, in Telluride Town Park. Performers include Ben Harper, Lucinda Williams, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, North Mississippi All-Stars, Los Lobos, and more. Food and craft vendors on site, camping passes available, tickets and schedule at ridefestival.com. Here to host this special edition of Local Motion is Sally Kane.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome, listeners, to KVNF's Bringing It Home. You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Sally Kane. Local Motion is KVNF's weekly program that focuses on news, public affairs, and local arts. We highlight people, ideas, and projects in our area that are innovative and moving us forward. Once a month, KVNF hosts a call-in program. We call it Bringing It Home, where we discuss important issues that impact us here in Western Colorado. And today we have a special hour-long show on the topic of tradition. Why? Well, this year's Cherry Days Festival in Paonia revealed some very serious rifts in the North Fork Valley between longtime residents and newcomers. What can newcomers to the valley do to show respect to longtime residents and their traditions while still being able to be engaged and involved in their community and the planning of local events? How can the coal industry, new industries, and environmentalists work together? How can new ideas be introduced to the valley without disregarding traditional approaches? What are our challenges as a community in coming together? On Bringing It Home today, we'll be speaking with several people who are working to find common ground and express their views on the rifts and the challenges and also the opportunities, preserving some important traditions and industries and cultivating new industries to find ways to improve the local economy. We do want you to be part of the discussion, listeners. The lines are open. You can call us at 527-4868. Let us know what you think. 1-866-KVNF-NOW is the toll-free number in case you are out of the local calling zone. And I'd like to first start with thanking this group of panelists here in the studio for being with me today. We have seven people here in the studio, and I'm just going to introduce each of them, and we're going to spend a pretty full hour just having a conversation. There's not a scripted way we want to go here, but we've discussed some ground rules, and the hope is that everyone in the room represented here can express some of their views and that we can have a fruitful discussion. We will be taking calls as they come in. So with that, let me just say that on my right is Luke Erickson. He's a born and raised Paonia boy. I know. I saw him in diapers when he was little, so I know that's the truth. And I think he was getting into some trouble, but I'm not exactly sure. Oxbow Mine. And next to Luke is Sam Beatty. He is from Bowie Coal Mine. And sitting next to Sam is Paonia's mayor, Neil Schwederman, who started on the Paonia Town Council in 2003 as an appointed trustee. And when the mayor resigned, Neil was appointed. I don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry, but he's run unopposed for mayor for his first and second terms. He's been a mayor for 5 years. Thanks for being here,
Neil.
Next to Neil is Jess Campbell, and he's a rancher from the North Fork Valley. His family has been ranching here for seven generations, and I might add, teaching a whole lot of the kids of this valley as well, part of the Homestead Cooperative in Paonia. And next to Jess is Steve Wolcott, here as a longtime board member and supporter of Enfrio Wazir Conservation Center. He's also moved to the valley in 1972, the farming and ranching on Stucker Mesa for 40 years. He's raised his family here, and his two adult sons live here. Right now, he's a member of the Upper North Fork Area Planning Committee, and he's helped found the Western Slope Environmental Resource Council. And right next to Steve, I have Cliff Brewer, who is a local coal miner. He's been in the North Fork Valley for 30 years. And Cliff was one of the folks who took to the streets of Paonia a couple weeks ago to air some grievances about how he feels coal miners are treated locally and to highlight the economic impact of coal mining in the county. And he has agreed to be here with us in the studio today. He works at Oxbow Coal Mine. And finally, here on the panel is Alexis Halbert, currently serving as the president of the Paonia Chamber of Commerce and as the North Fork Valley Heart and Soul Project Coordinator, which is a values-based community planning process here in the North Fork area with a strong emphasis on economic revitalization and local economies. So let's see, while visiting in 2006, Alexis met her now husband and moved here in 2010. So thanks to everyone here for being here. And without further ado, I'd kind of like to jump into the topic today. And I'd like to start with you, Cliff, and talk about, you know, what we did do when we saw you on the street in the morning. I think Gary went over and did a short news program. So you made the local newscast and talked to you a bit about that. But in the context of the palpable tension that we feel in the community right now, I just wondered if you could give folks a sense of what it is that motivates you to come out and speak publicly and voice your frustrations with what's going on.
Well, one of the big things that prompted me is the Cherry Days, these last couple of years in particular. I mean, if you look back at years past, the involvement of the mining industry, the involvement of the ranching industry, and some of the other local organizations has been an equivalent part of Cherry Days. And not just these last couple years, but even years before then, you know, those entities have been either excluded or no longer interested in being a part of these celebrations, you know, whether it be by their choice or whether it be by feeling excluded from the people that are calling the shots now. And what happened with Mr. Lewis at Cherry Days was another thing that upset me. And some of the comments I had read from some of the local citizens even upset me even further. I'm not going to quote any in particular because I really don't, you know, unless I read them again, I couldn't make a quote on any of them. But some of them were not very friendly.
Are you talking about social media, the
yes,
Paonia message board?
Paonia message board in particular. And also the Aspen Daily News.
Okay.
Some of those comments were pretty negative. But, you know, as far as, I mean, it's not just Cherry Days in particular anymore, just the whole atmosphere and the whole character of the North Fork Valley, you know, based on who created it and who founded it and who helped build it versus the entities that are in charge of it now, it's two different worlds.
Two different worlds. And I want to get everyone to be able to have some introductory comments, Cliff, so I'm going to move around, and then I'm just making notes of some of the things that we can get back to in this discussion. And how about you, Steve? You want to just kind of frame a couple comments here?
Well, I guess I'm too old to be on the Paonia message board, so I haven't been keeping up with that. But when I moved here many years ago, I think a similar kind of situation existed. There was not a good ongoing dialogue between the miners and the other, you know, the newcomers to the
valley.
Are
we talking about hippies, do you think, or what is the word?
Sure.
Okay. Hippies and, yeah, okay.
Okay. So part of what happened was I helped found an environmental organization at that time that's still in existence, and over the years, I think one of the biggest benefits of that is that there's been an ongoing conversation and dialogue between the miners, the hippies, and other newcomers who probably don't call themselves hippies who have moved here. And I think it's helped just help people understand and get to know each other. And WSERC supports the mines. We think, you know, they're very environmentally conscious and responsible, and they produce some of the cleanest coal in the country. If anybody's burning coal in the country, they ought to be burning the coal from the North Fork, because not only is the coal the cleanest, but the way it's mined you know, has probably the least impact of any of the other kinds of mines in the country. Now, over the years that I've been here, the level of tension has gone up and down and up and down a number of times over various different issues. But my experience is if people just sit down and talk to each other, get to know each other as people, instead of just saying, well, those so-and-so miners, they don't know what they're doing or whatever, without even knowing those people, that's where the problems come in. And so we, the county helped Wizirk and the coal mines set up an ongoing working group, the North Fork Coal Working Group, and we get together 4 or 5 times a year and just sit down and talk out whatever issues there may be. I would encourage, you know, people who have just recently come into the valley to participate in that kind of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Jess Campbell.
Well, I echo what Cliff said. That's kind of my same feelings. I feel like there's definitely a lack of respect for tradition here, what we've had through the years. You know, I can remember when Cherry Days in particular was really something to look forward to. I mean, for young people, for classes, agriculture, mining, timber, everybody participated. And for some reason, there's been an element of our population that have been very negative to the working class of people. And where it's come from, I have no idea, but it's gotten worse. And when I saw Cliff and Luke doing what they were doing, I thought, you know, we need to get behind this and wake people up, because I can see problems coming if we don't get a handle on it.
And Jess, is this when you talking about attitudes to the working class people, are you talking about what you said feels like you have to fight to work?
It seems like it. You know, like I told you earlier, Sally, when it used to be when you went to the coal mine or out in the field bucking bales or whatever, maybe the monetary wasn't there, but you got a pat on your back for a good day's work. Now you're looked down on if you're a worker. And these guys are feeding their families. They're going to work every day. Maybe what Steve says is right. Maybe the Wizirk tries to, but they also do a lot of negative things too. They fight every permit that goes through. That costs the coal mine money. And in the end, who's paying the bills? The working guy. And so I think this negative, and same way in agriculture, we've got people in this community that have fought grazing from the beginning, and yet our resource is on the increase. See,
that the public lands are in better shape.
Yeah,
you're saying
we've got as good a people as we could ever have in our Forest Service. They're super professional people. They're on top of what's going on, and yet every time a new permit comes up, one of these environmental groups comes to the table and puts it back.
Okay.
So
thank you for those comments, Jess. Neil, would you like to step in?
Certainly. I've worked with most everybody at this table one time or another, and precisely what I've been trying to do while I've been working at the town was to be inclusive and make sure everybody's voice is heard. Frankly, the difficulty I have is getting people to the table. We have, frankly, a very lopsided council right now, and every time we have an election, I try to reach out to those who are not of my social group to put forward candidates, and we've been relatively unsuccessful in getting anybody on council long term that represents particularly the traditional families in the town, and not for lack of reaching out on my part. And I call specific people who are movers in that group and asking for candidates, and what I typically get is They can't find anybody to run. Part of that is, you know, like Jess lives outside of town because he's in ag, and the ag land's not in town, it's out of town, so he's ineligible to run. But we still work together for like GoCo grants and stuff like that. So it's a hard thing, but as Steve was saying, the way to, at least in my opinion, the way to get people, rather than, it's easy, and I'm not perfect, to take a big broad brush and paint a whole group, but that's not the way the world is, especially anymore. We're much more integrated here than, I believe, than, you know, 15 years ago when we moved here. That being said, there's still a lot of work to do, obviously, as tensions rise. Mm-hmm. So I hope to be a part of the fix.
And I'm going to get to Sam and Luke, but I want to get your introduction, Alexis.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
My name's Alexis, and I am a new person to this community. And the last few years I've been here, I've been finding a way to make a living and to contribute what it is that I have to give to this community and figure out how I can be of service and also how I can feed my family and move my career forward. And the opportunities that I've had so far, one of the primary places that I've volunteered is with the Paonia Chamber. And my experience is, you know, it's been both good and a challenge. I think the irony around the conversation with Charity Days is I've seen so many people on that board do their best and put in so many, I mean, probably hundreds of hours from our board to try to create a festival that was inclusive. And somehow those communication channels or the connectivity between the community just wasn't there to create that kind of inclusivity. And for us, you know, our focus is on trying to strengthen the business community. So it was a challenge for us in the first place to see why we're spending 7 months a year creating a festival for the town. So I think there's a lot of questions that are great. It's great they're out on the table. I think it's an opportunity for people to talk about them, to find out, you know, I think it's, you know, why aren't people involved in a way that's inclusive? I think that it's charity is an opportunity for the community to come together, and whatever it looks like going forward is, I hope it's going to be more inclusive. And that's whether or not the chamber is involved in it or not.
Will the chamber be involved?
We're in the process of doing a survey in the community. We've got an online survey right now. It's coming out in the Merchant Herald for August for people to fill in the survey. And I'm hoping that we can also have a public forum sometime in the next couple months so people can kind of air out their grievances, talk about possible solutions, and figure out how next year people can feel good about participating in Charity Days. So we have our next board meeting this week, and we're going to put together a plan to figure out how that can happen. And just to touch on one more thing, one of the other projects I'm working on, Heart and Soul, the impetus to work on that grant was because we did recognize that there are communication channels in this community that they're just not connecting, and that we have a lot of assets. There are a lot of traditions. And how do you move forward in a valley like this one and respect those traditions while stewarding the change? We know change is going to happen. But how do we make sure that change really does bring people forward and gets everybody's voice included? So that's the fundamental, that's the goal of Heart and Soul, is, you know, what is the heart and soul of this community for all the different people who live here, and how do we get people talking to each other and listening to each other?
Okay, thanks. Sam, how about you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name's Sam Beatty, and I haven't lived here. I've lived here off and on my whole life. My dad was born here. My grandparents were here. At risk of embarrassing Jess is, I believe it was my great-grandmother was his aunt, Mary Story. I have roots that go back here many generations, and I had the pleasure of knowing at least my great-grandmother, and I had the pleasure and the opportunity to see Paonia in a lot of different ways. One of the ways was, you know, my dad wasn't just a coal miner, but he was also a hard rock miner, uranium, gold, silver. So it brought us in and out of Paonia, but Paonia was always home. Well, as a kid, it was always a great treat to come back to Paonia when we were away from home, and to see the 4th of July, to see Charity Days, to see how everybody come together as a community, the farmers, the ranchers, the loggers, the coal miners, just everybody, the merchants, everybody come together as a community and it was one big celebration. And during those years, leaving town and coming back, it never changed to me. But I've been here this last stretch for 16, 17 years. The last stretch, I've not left Paonia. I've decided to stay home. And in the last 17 years, from my point of view, from what I'd known as Paonia, as the tradition, as a community that could get along together, has really gone downhill. I was really disturbed with the parade. I was really disturbed with the man that protested in the parade because, you know, I lost my grandfather who went overseas to fight for people just to have the right to breathe. And for someone to stand out and protest something that is a part of our heritage, I just felt it was wrong to hijack a family get together, you know, a family celebration, something that should be about family, not about politics. I felt that it was really wrong. And I had nothing, I knew nothing about Luke and Cliff being downtown. I've known Luke for years. I've known Cliff for years. We've worked together. Luke's dad is the one that broke me in the mines. You know, Luke's dad was there when one of my relatives got killed. And when my wife came home and told me about it, I thought, you know, I need to be a part of this. I need to speak up because, frankly, from what I've seen in this last festival, it was depressing. It was sad. It's something that I didn't want my kids to see nor be a part of. And I have to echo what Jess said. I was always raised that if you was out earning an honest living and doing your responsibilities as a man to support and take care of, provide for your family, that's like the most honorable thing that you could do besides the ultimate sacrifice for your country. And it seems to me that getting into mining, which I swore up and down I would never do, because my dad was a miner and we traveled all over. You know, my dad was in uranium and we all know about the whole nuclear thing. And I swore up and down I'd never do that. I swore up and down I'd never do that to my family. And that's one of the reasons that I decided to come back to where my roots were from, to come back to Paonia, so I could raise a family and not have to move my family all over the place like my dad moved us. And it's almost like I feel as though we're the enemy. I feel as though we're treated like the enemy. Not just in part of being part of the natural resources industry, which it seems like everybody's against. Just, I feel walked on. I you know, like up here on Jumbo, I rode up there for over 30 years, and I've been run off there. In my opinion, why? Why am I being run off of a place that I rode a motorcycle for 30 years? That's been a part of my life. I hiked up there with my dad, hunted rocks, hunted fossils, and now when I go up there, I feel as though I'm not welcomed. And at times, I've met some really good people up there, and I've met some really nasty people up there. And I just don't understand, if we're all on the same page, why cannot we all come together as a community instead of, you know, bucking one another? I when I was down with Luke and Cliff, I heard about this balance. I kept being told about this balance. We need to find a balance. Yes, we do need to find a balance because it's tipped too far into one direction. But yet, how can you find a balance when you can't get people to come together on a common ground and give a little? In order to get along and live in the same society, in the same town, the same valley, we have to respect one another's rights and look at one another as being equals, instead of being better than the other. You know, I mean, there's nothing worse than a selfish person, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. But if we cannot come together and respect one another as an individual and a human being, and for having their own views, we will never ever get along. I mean, wars have been fought over less, and really it's not that big of a deal, because anybody in this room, what they do, it's really none of my business what they do for a living. It's not. And I don't think that what I do for a living is anybody's business either, as long as it's not harming someone. And I really don't feel that we're harming anyone, because I know that Cliff, myself, Jess, Luke, the other gentlemen, the other people in this room, I don't know, but I can honestly say that I do believe that we contribute a service and a product to the community and the economy and the world overall. And I don't know how many people out there can actually say they contribute overall, when I really firmly believe we do.
Thank you, Sam. And Luke, you're up.
I agree with Cliff, Sam, and Jess, and everybody here. You know, we're here to get along with people, and there's a lot of judging books by their covers, you know. I know some people that have actually been turned away from some of the restaurants around here just because you had an Oxbow hat on or something that like that, that were owned by, if you will, you know, some hippie type folk people. If you were a coal miner, they wouldn't let you eat there, you know, and they just don't understand, like Sam said, the impact we have in this town and in this whole valley. You know, there's just a lot of negativity towards us, and it's just crazy. You know, I'll get along with anybody. I don't judge, you know, them for what they do, and they don't, you know, they shouldn't judge me for what I do. I have 5 children and a wife, and in this town and the way the economy is, kind of really coal mining, it's the only thing I can do to take care of my family, you know, to raise my 5 kids and take care of my wife. And even then, the way the economy is, it's still tough. But I ain't trying to tell, you know, those people they can't be fruit growers or, you know, wineries or whatever they're doing. I'm okay with. They just don't understand what we do for a living is hard work, you know. Like one guy said, he's an artist and stuff, and Sam told the guy, you know, I can't depend on selling a picture, you know, or waiting on a picture to sell. I depend on a 2-week paycheck, and that's just what I'm standing up for, is, you know, my kids, my family, and everybody else that's coal miners. There's just a lot of people that judge us, and they don't even know us. You know, if they'd come up and talk to us, you know, we're not bad people, and that goes for them too. I don't judge, you know, hippie type people. I grew up with a lot of, you know, hippie folks that I was friends with and got along with in school, and it's just like these guys say, we need to get together more and talk to people and let them meet us, because, you know, I know they're probably not bad people, but neither are we. They just need to understand where we're coming from, and we're just trying to do the best we can to support our families.
Thank you, Luke. And Cliff, you have a comment?
Yeah, I got a comment. A few comments I'll just try to cover real quick. First of all, with Zerk, whatever benefit they've been to the mine, they've been just as big of a hindrance. And as far as the way things are in Paoni, the city council is responsible for a big part of it due to the fact that it's so lopsided. Whether or not it's the citizens of Paoni's fault for not putting someone on that board has yet to be determined. But as far as being on that board, it requires a lot of time a working man don't have. I can't make no afternoon meeting. I can't make always a night meeting. Or anything else, you know, guys like us, we work a lot of hours, we work a lot of days to be able to sacrifice that kind of time to be able to be a part of that city council to make the difference that we want made. It's just not feasible a lot of the times. And I implore anybody in this community listening to this that shares our same views to do that. Be more political in Paonia, have a say so, and let's try to balance things out a little bit, because they are lopsided greatly.
Okay, and we're getting to about the halfway mark of our show, and we've just gotten through our first round of introductory comments here. So we are going to take a short break at the bottom of the hour here, and we're going to be mentioning those who are helping support the programming on KVNF. And I want to remind folks that we are taking calls. Again, that number is 527-4868. And just to frame the discussion for the second half of the show, which I want you guys all to think about, is I want to tell you a little of my story. Okay, moving here 40 years ago as an 8-year-old was, in my view, completely different, upside down from what it is right now. And I was born in Denver in 1963. My father is a federal judge. He's been on that bench for many, many years. And my mother raised us on the farm at Pumpkin Hollow, it's called now, Midway, what we used to call it. And I went all through Paonia Public Schools and went on from there to get a degree at Colorado State University. and married a guy I met here whose mother was a teacher. And we had two children. And we chose to move back to this valley 17 years after being away because it was just like you, Sam, was in our heart and under our skin, and we needed to be here. And we took all the sweat equity we had and plopped it down on 250 acres out in Crawford, and that's where we're raising a few cows. We're mostly chasing them around the neighborhood these days, but that's what happens when your fencing gets bad. Mm-hmm. And I have come to this radio station after my mother helped found it. I was on the air in high school as a high school DJ. I've known Steve ever since I was 8 years old. And I have to tell you, the labels and the meanness that was thrown at my family when we moved here continues to be a wound for me. And there were people driving around with sheep dip, ready to find some hippies and throw them in there. You didn't have to do anything but maybe have voted for a Democrat to be a hippie, to tell you the truth. And there were a lot of others that was pretty scary for folks here to see, and a lot of values that weren't shared, and a lot of really bad communication, all that stuff. But my perspective is, it's 40 years later, and we're stuck in some of the same places. And that same kind of meanness and negativity, my main point here is to just say, it is running both ways, or I wouldn't be doing this show right now. And I can tell you that we could pack this room full of a bunch of folks who might have moved here in the last 5 or 6 years, and each one of them could tell you something truly awful that somebody has said or done to them. And I'm not trying to discount anything that anybody here is saying, because I have also watched, as I've moved back to this area, people come in and step all over something that is sacred to people, like Cherry Days for a certain. I just had my 30th high school reunion on this Cherry Days, class of 82. And it was confusing where were we supposed to be in the park, where were we, you know, all those kinds of things. In fact, we had our dinner at Zach's because we couldn't really find a place to have our gathering up here in Paonia. So I am aware of that. I want everybody to know that. But I also want to open this conversation up so that there is some kind of an understanding that these things have kind of built and ebbed and flowed over many years in the community. And to say also from the perspective of being a child, it's a really ugly thing to see when you're a child and adults are putting each other down and behaving badly. It's a bad model. And it was something I've watched for many years here from both sides. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is to try and be someone who wants to hold some middle ground here around that. And sometimes it just takes one extreme thing that'll inflame someone else. And those folks who usually hold the middle have the least voice in some of that. So that's what we're trying to do with this discussion. And with that, I want to segue to Mr. Reynolds, who needs to read a couple underwriting announcements. Give us a tiny little break on our ears, and we'll be right back with you. Remember, you can call in 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now and join this discussion on Bringing It Home.
So we off air now?
You are listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This program on KVNF is supported by the Rotary Club of Paonia, geared to service in the local community. The Rotary Club provides college scholarships to area youth to help them reach their educational goals. More information available at 527-4585. The numbers to call if you have comments for the program, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
Carrie Rodriguez is a critically acclaimed singer, songwriter, and musician with a unique style mixing country, rock, and a new wave of indie folk. Tune in this Thursday at 7 p.m. for KVNF Live, featuring this talented musician live from the Paonia Town Park. That's this Thursday, August 2nd. KVNF Live presents Carrie Rodriguez. Boards, cricket, cups, and
Here once again is our host for the program, Sally Kane.
Thank you, Jeff. And we do have a caller on the line. His name is Dale. I'd like to take that call. Are you there, Dale?
I got a couple of comments.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. I was the assistant driver in that tank on the 4th of July.
Okay.
And my biggest problem with Mr. Lewis is he absolutely showed no respect to the American flag. Okay? That's wrong. I don't care. If you don't like our country, move out. That's my opinion. I've been in foreign countries in the military service. We got it really, really good here. And if you don't blame me, try going to another country. That's my biggest opinion on that. And as far as, you know, the coal mines, I don't know. I don't understand why people move into an area. They moved here for a reason. I assume they liked what they seen when they looked here. So they move into this area, then they try to change it. That's beyond my comprehension. I don't understand it, I guess, so.
You don't understand why anyone would want to change something?
Yeah, change it to something that they moved away from for some reason. You know, most generally that's why they moved here, was to get away from where they was at. They didn't like what it was, and then they 9 times out of 10 try to change it, this area or any other area they move into, to what they moved away from and make improvements, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I mean, basically, you know, it upsets me, and I don't care where I'm at, whether it's a basketball game, and I've had lots of grandkids going through this school here and got 4 more still going. And it just turns my stomach when someone will not remove their hat and say, I pledge allegiance to the American flag. That just bums me out. Mm-hmm. They don't like it, they can move out as far as I'm concerned. Okay?
I appreciate your comments, and thanks for taking the time to call in.
You betcha. Thank you.
And I think I saw, Alexis, you'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, part of the storytelling aspect, what we're doing with Heart and Soul, is trying to get out to as many different people as possible. And we're just starting. We're really needing help from community members to get out to their families and their communities and ask questions like, what matters to you most about where you live, about your job, about your traditions, so that we can get those voices heard and find a way to play it back to the community. We're still trying to pull together our project plan and the details around all this. But so far, when I've been asking people around town, you know, what is it about the North Fork Valley that you love the most? A lot of people say the diversity of people. And they're not talking about ethnic diversity here. You know, we're talking about the diversity of the jobs and the opinions and the values and the attitudes. And it's really been something that's come up almost every single time I talk to somebody. And the wonderful thing, too, is one of the last questions I asked is sort of, you know, if you could wave a magic wand and there was something you could change about where you live, would you change anything? Most people have said no. There's nothing that they would change about where they live. That they don't feel that that's fair, that, in fact, change happens naturally and that it's for us to all be a part of that change. So that was just something, a reflection that I found to be very interesting.
Thanks, and I do believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You there? Okay.
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air, so go ahead if you have a comment or question.
Yeah, my name is Elaine. I'm from Hospice, and I just would like to present a little different perspective to the gentleman on the panel. My husband and I moved here after both having very long careers. We worked hard. We held our jobs all of our lives, and we came to the North Fork Valley because we found it to be just an incredibly beautiful place. We found a small community that seemed like a wonderful community, and over the last 7 or 8 years, we both have contributed significantly to this community in our volunteer efforts, in our contributions, and in working and giving our time, money, and efforts to this North Fork Valley, because we see the potential of it and how wonderful it is. And I would just like, I know I really appreciate working folks. I grew up in a blue collar home, and I just like to say I would like for these gentlemen to also open their hearts and open their eyes to try to understand the people who are coming to this valley and the people who want to live here, who have chosen to give up a lot of different things to live here in the North Fork Valley because we find it a very, very special place. That said, the traditions, the history is all a part of this special place. But there's a lot of other things going on that I believe those of us who are relatively new, it doesn't mean that we can't or don't love this place as much as you do. And I would just ask that people open their minds, open their hearts to see that of everyone who has chosen to come to this valley. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate your comments. And Sam, you have a comment.
Yeah, in reference to the caller that just called in, you know, I think most people are fairly open-minded, but when, speaking for the panel of coal miners and the rancher, when regulation starts taking place and things start getting shot down and you have generations of people that have depended on certain kinds of jobs, naturally I think people are going to start and getting defensive, start getting angry when there's the thought there may be a risk that we may lose our jobs because of the type of industry we're in. And it's commonly known in this valley, regardless of whether anybody wants to admit it or not, people don't want the coal mines here. A lot of people do not want the coal mines here. I have been bashed. You know, whether or not the caller wants to recognize that or not, it really doesn't matter to me. It simply exists. And for a farmer or rancher to be bashed, making a living off the land, which I personally believe that God put it here for all of us, including the farmers and ranchers especially, you know, if this is what their livelihood depends on, this is how they raise their families, you know, this is where they get their income, feed their kids. I think everybody should get along and respect one another's views, but when you're at risk of losing your job and wondering where you're going to go and maybe have to move away and leave something that's been in the family for 5-6 generations, people start getting upset.
So, Sam, let me ask you this. It seems like we're all kind of at risk in this economy anyway. A lot of people are worried about their jobs all over this country. People's jobs are going overseas. We all know that. They've been outsourced. This is a problem that's been building for many, many years. In our country. And I would have to say that there are also folks who even have more recently located here, and they have a lot of big concerns about supporting themselves too. So I'm just trying to say, I think that's kind of something we all share, not something is just a coal miner's worry.
May I comment on that, though?
Yeah, sure.
There's applications available at the coal mine if you're worried about supporting yourself and having benefits. Amen. As far as the outsourcing of jobs, where did that all start? It started with regulation, and the more you regulate yourself right out of a job. And these companies, these factories, with the regulations, the fines, everything growing. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be regulated. Yes, we should. But when it gets to the point that it's not feasible to try to run a business in this country, heck yeah, they're going to ship it overseas. They're going to outsource the jobs because they can keep their livelihood. They can keep what puts money in their bank accounts and food on their dinner table by putting it overseas because they can afford to operate
cheap
overseas.
Cheap labor, let's face it. Well, but you wouldn't want to give up some of your paycheck.
What are you saying now?
It's cheap labor.
It's cheap labor.
Most of those guys went overseas.
No, that isn't why they went overseas. A lot of it has to do with regulations and being able to still make a livelihood off of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, with cheap labor, what comes? Less cost to run a business. People aren't in a business just to support regulations, taxes. That's not the reason that they're running a business. Why run a business if you're not going to make any money off of it? Why? Why run a business if you're not going to make an income off of it?
Right.
If all the money's going to go to the government.
Neil, and then I'll get to you, Luke. And then I see Cliff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got everybody ready to comment now. Two callers on the line.
Okay. I'll be brief.
You be brief, and then we'll take the callers, and I think what we'll do is a last round, so everybody can have kind of a final word.
I'd actually like to. You know, people are going to have different points of view of why businesses go overseas and stuff, and that's always that way in politics. I'd like to bring the discussion back to what can we do here in the North Fork. What can we do on the Western Slope that brings our very diverse community, which is our strength. It's also our weakness. It's difficult to get everybody at the table and talking. What can we do to try to get everybody at the table and partaking in the solution rather than just stew about a problem?
Mm-hmm. All right. And then actually, since we're at a quarter till, I'd like to just go around and stay focused on that question of Neil's. And let's talk about what kind of steps do you all think really could be taken to improve the situation as it is right now? And some of you have already spoken to that, but I just would like to sum that up before we end the show. So we're going to go in the reverse direction. Start with you, Luke. You got to get that mic over to you, bud. Okay.
I wanted to talk about some other things. I don't have no comment, really.
Do you have anything to say about what might help the situation, in your opinion?
Just for one, not trying to take people's jobs from them, because in the end, all it's going to do is hurt their own jobs. You know, you shut down three coal mines, there's 1,500, if not more, people that are going to be leaving this valley. And those are people that spend their money at the people's businesses who shut down the coal mines, you know. And I don't know. I just, like Mr. Neil said, people need to get together and talk and, you know, figure things out instead of trying just to bash each other or, you know, hurt each other's jobs and whatnot.
Okay, thank you, Luke. How about you, Sam? Any closing comments there?
Yeah, I think one of the best things that we can do is, first of all, treat one another with respect, because we all have an equal right. Not one of us is greater than the other, whether you're a coal miner, a hippie, a logger. It doesn't matter. We're all God's children, and none of us is greater than the other, nor does any of us really have the right to try to control anyone, whether it's coal miners controlling hippies or hippies controlling coal miners or what takes place in the valley. And ultimately, I personally believe that, you know, everybody has the right to earn a living the way they want, do it the way they want, live how they want, listen to what they want. It doesn't matter. They have their own rights. And I mean, this might sound ignorant, but I think this world would be a whole lot better place if people just mind their own business.
Okay. Thank you. How about you, Mayor Schwederman?
My experience has been that it is oftentimes it takes a little lightning strike to get people to the table, and maybe we have that happening here. And I'm trying to conceive of how the town could take a leadership role in getting people to be a part of the solution. And I'm still not there yet. I'm not sure how to do that. Towns usually go by specific project. We're doing this, and we try to get everybody's input. This is a little more ubiquitous and difficult to deal with in that regard. So I'm open to suggestions.
Okay. I want to take a brief break and listen to the callers, and then we're going to get back and have some final comments from Mr. Campbell, Mr. Wolcott, Mr. Brewer, and Ms. Halbert. Go ahead, Jeff. You got a caller there? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead and give us your comments.
Well, am I supposed to give my name and such?
Sure, you bet.
Well, this is Bill Powers calling from
here. Well, hello.
How are you doing?
Thanks for the theme music.
Oh, I better get away from the radio because that sounds weird. I guess I just wanted to there's a whole lot, obviously, to all of this that everyone's talking about. So many facets to the issues, but I feel like I think the only real thing I can speak for is myself, and to just put it out there that I feel like this, in regards to this, I guess maybe newcomers to old timers / miners, maybe if that's a way to, you know, miners and ranchers. I don't really see miners and ranchers being the same, other than just that's kind of the traditional, that's the folks that have been around here, and those are the things that people have been doing in this valley for the most part, you know, forming the economy. I've been here about 14 years, and I still very much feel like a newcomer in that way, and that's kind of the, you know, I have friends, and have diverse friends over the years, have gotten to know other folks and folks that work at the mines, and you know, I've found that, we tend to just be civil people to each other. And I we've been through this whole miners versus the hippies, and, you know, I guess I'll be a hippie if that's what I'm supposed to be. I don't see myself as a hippie. Maybe there was a time that I might have associated more with that, but I don't really even know why that's coming up again. I feel like we've been through this so many times. And, you know, I will say from my own standpoint, I completely understand the importance of the mines to the economy of the area and for the tradition and for people's generations working here and living here. And I have utmost respect for that. And, you know, I don't think that we have to have the same values and cultural values to get along and to understand, you know, the meanings and importance of where people are coming from. I don't think people have to necessarily, you know, feel like that coal is the best, you know, fuel for us to be putting all our eggs in that basket as a nation and as a people at this point. But it doesn't mean that I want anybody to not have their job. And as long as I'm driving a car and as long as I'm, you know, using electricity, you know, you have to understand that comes from coal and people have to mine coal. And until you know, there's some other alternative or something that people can make a living at doing, you know, I guess I'm just saying that I understand what it is. I don't necessarily have to agree with it.
We got to wrap it up, Bill, because okay. You got more callers. And
okay, sorry.
I get the general gist of what you're saying.
I get going. I just...
Yeah, it's okay.
All
right.
I guess it's just like offering the olive branch once again. I don't have a problem with miners. I understand that everybody's got to make a living and everything. And I guess I just want to extend that.
Okay.
You know?
Thanks. We're going to take the next caller. Thanks for calling in. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi.
And we're running out of time, so try and be as quick as you can.
Certainly. Real quick, I just wanted to say thank you so much to KVNF and to the panel of gentlemen that are sitting there in the studio today, because above and beyond everything, regardless of what differences divide us, seeking healing and solution and having your voice heard is a really important part of the transition that we're in right now. And so I just want to say thank you very much to all of you gentlemen and to you, Sally, and to everyone who's extending this opportunity for our community to heal. And then I wanted to suggest that there is a third component of the community who is not present here, and that is the reaching far back into history, the culture who existed here before our cultures have come here to exist.
The Ute Indians?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And just wanted to, without too many more words, just suggest that their presence here in this valley for however long that they were here, many, many generations, be recognized as an important part of part of the traditions that exist in this area as well.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Did
so
we
much.
get to all the callers yet, or you got one more? Two more. Oh my goodness. Okay, you're on the air.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I don't even know your name, but I am talking to you.
All right. My name's Christian. I'll make it quick and sweet, so I can go listen to myself on the radio.
Thank you.
I originally come from the hills of Pennsylvania, which, if people remember, is a big, pretty big steel-producing area. All of my family grew up in the steel mills. There was a gentleman who brought up the word regulation a little while back. And what happened in Pennsylvania was essentially just that. They regulated the steel mills out of business and everybody out of work. And it absolutely crushed that area. So two things. When both sides don't agree, yeah, it's no fun. But you got to consider where we are and the beauty we get to experience every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things in this area that allow people to have the opportunity to enjoy this area. And my only advice, after what I saw happen in Pennsylvania, is learn to figure it out between all of yourselves and keep the regulation and the government out of it, because they'll only destroy this area, and then they can do whatever they want with their greedy, grubby little hands. Mm-hmm. So to prevent that, work together. You've got a beautiful area. It reminds me of where I grew up in Pennsylvania, with the beautiful agriculture and farmlands. Your coal mines are my old steel mills. Everybody needs to figure out a way to work it together. And that's all.
Thank you so much for calling in. I believe we have two more callers. Someone else just joined the line. And go ahead, and caller, you're on the line.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for the program. This is Steve Rubick.
Hi, Steve.
And as quick as I can, you guys, I consider myself to be one of the original hippies that moved to the valley. I immediately learned how hard we have to work together. I believe Jess and I have actually fed a few cows together. I've worked with the sawmills. I make my living with all the wood raised around here. I have many miner friends and many, many, many hippie friends. I want the people out there listening to know that we have learned so much from the old-timers and people we met here, the farmers, ranchers, miners. Our hope is that you learn from us. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. One more caller, and then we're going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I think I might have a good way to wrap it up. I think that Neil Schwederman was exactly right when he said that there has to be something, a lightning bolt or something, to bring the two communities together.
You're cutting out on your cell phone, I think. So a lightning rod to bring people together, that this might be our catalyst to move something forward. Okay.
About the issue of gas wells within our town, our adjacent land.
Sorry, we can't really hear you. You're breaking up. So sorry about that.
Can you hear me now?
And we're running out. We got 2 minutes, so I got to cut you off. Sorry about that.
Tell you what I was trying to say.
Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are reaching the end. I want to thank Jeff Reynolds, our sound engineer, Allie Lightfoot, our program director. I'm Sally Kane, your host for this edition of Local Motion. And we just have a couple minutes if there's a final comment anybody would like to make. Cliff, looks like you're ready. And then and Alexis, if you can leave her a little time too.
Yes, this wasn't an issue of social class. This wasn't an issue of stereotyping. What this was an issue of is a loss of tradition and heritage that built and created this entire valley. The newcomers, they have no idea the sacrifice that has went into building everything that they enjoy. This wasn't a battle between coal miners and hippies. This is a battle over regulation, and this is a battle of a loss of tradition and a loss of heritage that made this place as great as it is. What I'm shooting for is a restoration. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you, Cliff.
And I think that's great. I think what we really need, again, are those communication channels between the people who've been here and the new people, so that those traditions can be learned and honored and respected. And again, it can go both ways, that people can learn about the new folks here. And I invite people to participate in heart and soul. And we could always use some chamber board members, so come on down.
And I want to give Steve, you have a chance for a last word?
Well, I would agree that, you know, I think face-to-face communication is the key, and I think part of the problem is when people get to communicating over the internet and they're not face to face, they're anonymous. They can say and feel mean things that they just wouldn't say if they were facing you face to face.
That is very sure. Go ahead, Sam.
As far as the face to face goes, I agree with that 100%. And I just found out yesterday, and I'd like to mention this on the air, that August 18th, Liberty Fest. At Paonia Town Park.
We have a public service announcement. We'll be running on the airwaves about that.
Okay, you know about it.
Yeah,
okay.
We do.
Thank you.
And I just want to, I've got one last little plug here. I want to say that I also think this community has a great asset in publicly accessible media, because there is no CNN that's going to come in and give us all an opportunity to sit here and talk the way that we're talking. And I really appreciate my job, and I'm glad that it's here. And I encourage everybody to pass the word about this local news that we have been putting a lot of efforts into, because it's rare to have boots on the ground in your own community creating news. And thanks again for joining. I hope you all will stay tuned next week for our public affairs magazine, Local Motion. And I'm sending it off to you, Jeff.